Now, for our regular Wednesday book segment, day-to-day literary editor Karen Grigsby Bates has a volume of poetry, a kind of a modern hip-hop version of Walt Whitman. Honest. Listen to this.
I could recite the grass on a hill and memorize the moon. I know the cloud forms of love by heart and have brought tears to the eye of a storm. My memory banks vaults of autumn forests and Amazon river banks, and I've screamed them into sunsets that echo in earthquakes. Shadows have been my spotlight as I monologue the night and dialogue with days, soliloquies of wind and breeze applauded by sun rays.
Poet Saul Williams' first book is an epic 200-page poem provocatively titled Said the Shotgun to the Head. In it, a wandering prophet searches the world through several cataclysmic events, hoping to sift through the ashes of war to find love, compassion, and a new beginning. It's part Homer, part Whitman, and all original. And it's drawing in audiences that had no interest in poetry, that thought poetry was the purview of dead white guys from another century. Growing up in Newburgh, New York, Saul Williams was surrounded by words. His minister father used them to spin sermons from the pulpit every Sunday. His teacher mother was the guardian of words properly used. The Williams household was not financially flush, says Saul, but it was rich in other important ways.
We had a nice exposure to African-American culture, so that I grew up knowing who Mary Baraka and Sonia Sanchez and Maya Angelou and Nikki Giovanni were.
His parents cherished the cadences of these poets of the 60s Black Arts Movement. They held up the example of singer-activist Paul Robeson as a way to combine art and social conscience. As an adult, Saul Williams would continue to consider Robeson a role model.
Paul Robeson, to me, serves as the perfect example of the fusion between politics and artistry. You know, I believe that when we have God-given voices and God-given talents, and it is up to us to connect those talents, if we have microphones held to in front of our faces, then it's our responsibility to speak for those who perhaps are voiceless.
Given Robeson's individualistic example, it was probably inevitable that young Saul would come to appreciate words in his own way. Although he valued the poets to whom he'd been exposed as a child, Williams says he really began to appreciate the art when he first heard contemporary musicians.
You know, I grew up on hip-hop, you know, so that the first poets I really felt viscerally were MCs like KRS-One, Rakim, Chuck D, LL, Run. You know, those were my first poets.
Williams also took great joy in acting. From elementary school on, he'd enjoyed the challenge of making a character come alive for an audience. Whether on a stage or in the lunch line at school, he loved having all eyes and ears on him. After completing a bachelor's degree from Morehouse College in Atlanta, Williams came to New York and earned a graduate degree in acting from NYU. While there, he became drawn into the burgeoning trend of performing poetry in small joints and cafes.
Having spent, you know, so much of my life on stage doing plays, so much of my life in battles in the lunchroom, rhyming, and writing speeches and speech and debate and what have you, it seemed like everything that I had learned had prepared me for the art of spoken word.
For Williams, spoken word performances became the culmination of many of the skills he'd acquired over the years. Poetry competitions, called slams, were a way to merge the flow of poetry and the precision of performance. When he won the Grand Slam at the New Yorican Poets Cafe in 1996, Williams was cast in the lead of Slam, a popular 90s movie about spoken word competitions. Part of him doesn't see what all the fuss is about.
Poetry has always been recited, and all that we are doing nowadays is bringing back something that's been done forever. Any good Shakespeare teacher will tell you, you know, in order to understand Shakespeare, you have to read his work aloud. Great Sufi poets like Hafiz and Rumi were known for reciting their work aloud, you know, like, so poetry has always been recited. Only thing new is these microphones and the technology surrounding it.
That technology, however, drew in new audiences, revitalized an interest in poetry that had been dormant in young audiences for several decades, and made Williams a star to the MTV generation. Williams' increasingly prominent profile led him to perform with several popular musicians, such as Erykah Badu and KRS-One. And he has a recurring role in a UPN sitcom as, of course, a poet. Poetry remains his first love. MTV is betting that Williams' book, a thick volume the size of a CD, printed in varied typeface, can cast the net even wider, drawing in listeners who couldn't imagine that poetry and politics could coexist in such an interesting way. Williams says people who insist that politics and art remain separate are being naive.
Anyone who says, well, I'm not political, is making a political statement. You know, and love is political nowadays. You know, whom you choose to love, how you choose to express it. It's all quite political.
Set the Shotgun to the Head is, Saul Williams says, an attempt to see beauty in a chaotic time, and perhaps an attempt to see the beauty of a chaotic time. Given the contentiousness of the times, it's unlikely he'll run out of subject matter anytime soon.
You can't steal first base unless you make the world Yankee Stadium and put all shades of brown in the bleachers, tied fresh and white as snow. But this world is not your fantasy. The sun will burn you non-existent, just as you did that Baghdad library where the ancient words of Sufi poets like Rumi and Hafiz were palmed in the hand of Fatima in the bed of Muhammad.
For Day to Day, I'm Karen Grigsby Bates.